athletes, rock singers, and movie stars whose career plans ran into a ditch somewhere along the way. With no strain, I can think of one deputy sheriff who turned to wearing a badge only after he lost his job as a drive-time disc jockey. Another who was recently cited as the Texas Law Officer of the Year out of almost 500 candidates was happily working as a tractor mechanic when he one day decided to apply for police work, with very little expectation that he would even pass the written exam. Then there was an up-and-coming draftsman whose career hit a brick wall when the company for which he was working was suddenly purchased by one of those job-eating conglomerates. Out of work for the first time in his life, he took the advice of a friend, who happened to be a police officer, and applied for the force. He's still wearing a badge a quarter of a century later, and wouldn't trade it for the finest drafting board to be found. I even know a couple of guys who gave up the priesthood for police work. These men are among the many law officers whose work I greatly admire. Like hundreds of others in all branches of police work, they are men who were right all along for the job they never thought they would seek. What I'm saying is that there is no formula, no real acid test, that serves as absolute proof that one has the ideal mindset and proper talent for law enforcement. As further example of my thesis, I give you Larry Wansley, a kid from the Dry Bed, Missouri whistle stop of Festus, population 7,000. At various stages of my life, I was convinced I would be a top-notch civil engineer, pulling down a celestial paycheck, a heavyweight title contender, and an influential corporate executive. I thought I had the grades to pursue the first dream, was convinced my left jab would see me to success in the second, and was confident my drive and ambition would earn me the latter. Understand that my story is not to be seen as a testament to failed dreams. Rather, it is one of dumb luck and good fortune that led to a life's work I wouldn't trade for the finest office GM has to offer. Best I explain. As one of only a half dozen blacks in the 1959 graduating class of Festus High School, my flaming ambition was to go on to college and earn an engineering degree. My grades were among the highest in my class, and several small colleges had even hinted they might be willing to consider offering me a scholarship. It was a time, however, when the idea of integration was still unpopular with certain school administrators. A school counselor whose wisdom I held in high regard went to considerable lengths to dissuade me from my collegiate ambitions. He could not give a single example of a black man from Festus who had earned fame, fortune, or even a college degree. On the other hand, he noted, the local rock quarry was badly in need of strong young high school graduates. He went so far as to offer to put in a good word for me. I thanked him kindly and joined the Marines the day after graduation, putting as much distance as I could between myself and the Festus quarry. I also discarded my plans to become an engineer. The next man to give direction to my future was a drill instructor at the San Diego Marine Corps Recruit Depot, who, having taken note of the fact I had been a fairly good athlete in high school, suggested that it would be in my best interest to volunteer for the camp boxing team he was eagerly organizing. Actually, it wasn't a suggestion. One morning he summoned all new recruits to stand in ranks for inspection and asked if there were any boxers among us. In one hand he carried a lead pipe wrapped in adhesive tape. He kept slapping it against his open palm as he spoke. When he reached the spot where I stood, he smiled and hit me squarely in the stomach with the pipe. I figured it would have been a triple in most parks. Pain shot through my entire body, and tears formed in my eyes. I can't tell you how badly I wanted to drop to my knees and faint dead away, but I stood there, doing my damnedest to maintain my composure. The DI stood in front of me for what seemed like an eternity, apparently waiting to see if I was going to pass out or throw up. Then he smiled. "You're a boxer," he said. He told me to report immediately to the sergeant who was to serve as my trainer. In time, I became convinced that the DI was an excellent judge of talent. Though I'd had no training as a fighter, I had held my own during those unhappy early integration days back home when black students had been forced to literally fight their way in and out of the boys' restroom.